Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. I'm Tim Grady. I'm here with my co-host, Lou Weiss. And in a moment, we will be talking with Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair for the Institute for Supply Management's report on business for the non-manufacturing sector, which may be the sector that's currently driving the economy a little stronger than the manufacturing sector. But, Lou, we're going to find that out when we talk with Anthony.
I'm scared to find out. I'm still recovering from the manufacturing report of last Thursday,
whatever it was. Friday.
Yeah. I lost sleep over it, and you know. So Anthony is going to spur our spirits.
Well, Anthony, welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio. You're on with us every month, and we greatly appreciate your contribution. So maybe you can ease Lou's mind to the degree that you can on how things are going in non-manufacturing.
Well, I don't know if I can do that, especially with the lead-in. The composite index for this month came in at 53.7, so that's the lowest reading we've had in 3 years.
So how's
that for a lead-in, Lou?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. If it bleeds, it leads.
Oh, boy. But anyway, no, I appreciate being on the show with you gentlemen, and you know, it's not all gloom and doom out there. When we look at the non-manufacturing sector, you know, every one of the indexes is north of 50, so we're seeing growth in each and every one of them, albeit we have a slower rate of growth. We've had the second month in a row of cooling off here. We look at business activity, 53.1. That's down 5.1 percentage points. And new orders is 54.1, and that's down 1.7 percentage points. And employment is a bright spot. It went up 1.2 percentage points. So, you know, keep in mind there are certain factors out there that affect the economy. And we have some, you know, we're seeing this cooling off. And that's typical for non-manufacturing as it is for manufacturing in the summer months. Even when you take into consideration seasonal adjustments, the seasonality of it is such that the summer we see plant closures, we see holidays, vacations. So I'm not trying to paint a picture of being the consummate optimist, but when we look at it, we look toward September as being the pivotal month because, you know, this is not even – we're just past the halfway point here, and we've had a good 2019 up until these last few months. And looking at some of the positive things that are happening, we've had steady job growth. 164,000 jobs were added, so that's steady from not as high as what we've seen in the past. Unemployment at 3.7 percentage points, and the consumer confidence beat forecast, and it's at an eight-month high. So when you take those things into consideration and the fact that we're not contracting in any of these indexes, the economy is doing pretty good. It's just that we're so accustomed to the strength that we've seen exhibited from the latter part of 2018 and carrying over into 2019.
Anthony, when you say the consumer confidence numbers have been held strong, which I know you're correct, it has been, but I don't think that they fully understand all the things that are going on and could go on soon in the economy that's going to materially hurt the consumer. I don't know if they fully believe in the tariff as it is. I don't think that they really know how much more products are going to, or that are costing them, you know, where is it going to hit? When is it going to hit them in the pocket is the question. So once they realize that, the confidence level is going to drop.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, when you look at this latest round in the escalation of the trade war, it won't take effect till September. And
right.
Yet then these products that will be hit on this next round of tariffs will directly impacts consumer products. So, yes, the consumer will feel it. Now, keep in mind, as I mentioned, some of the factors, the variables that are in place now with consumer confidence, we've also had wage increases recently. So we weren't getting wage pressure previously, but now wages have been driven up a bit. and that's due to the scarcity and having difficulty of filling positions, and people are really competing for skilled labor out there as much as they are for, we've seen it in certain industries where they just can't backfill positions. Putting that aside, consumers, if they have the money and there is a bit of increase in a particular product they want, some are frugal, some will put it off, some will wait, others will buy it. I mean, it's supply and demand. It's just a matter of, you know, whether they want it bad enough or not.
Thank goodness for credit cards.
Yeah, right?
Credit card gives you unlimited money.
Well, not entirely, although we're running a high credit card debt. Anthony, the new orders that are coming into the non-manufacturing sector, I know in the manufacturing sector it's 6 to 9 months on average for those new orders to turn into product and get shipped. What is it in the non-manufacturing sector?
You know, that's a great question. It depends really on the industry, because it's there's so many different industries. It's so eclectic in the non-manufacturing sector. The non-manufacturing
right.
sector tends to be more demand pull, and so it depends. If it's and I'll give you an example. Say it's in management of companies, consulting, that type of thing. It would be months of a cycle time based on the engagement letter being signed versus something that might be more with tangible goods that would be pulled from a wholesale distribution, which would go from anywhere from day to day or week to week. It just really depends. It's hard to say. It's not like aerospace where you're building a plane where it takes maybe 2 years to get it out the door from the time you go to the design build. So it's just all over the board.
Okay. And what are your respondents saying? And I realize we're early in the game here for these new tariffs coming online, but for the month of July, what were their comments in general on what's happening with the non-manufacturing sector?
Well, interesting enough that even though this latest escalation was announced after our respondents had submitted their answers, or I should say their comments relative to the survey, there's still numerous comments around, you know, surrounding the uncertainty with tariffs. Others are more direct, like this one from construction. Tariffs continue to push costs higher, and customers are looking for more discounts due to mortgage rate fluctuations. This one came out of the information arena. Some uncertainty hinges on tariffs, but there have been no changes in market conditions. It's been out there. It definitely impacts the manufacturing side more, as Lou noted, but I can say that now this latest round, it'll be interesting to see what August brings as far as our committee members and their survey responses in relative to the tariffs that are impending coming up in September.
You know, the thing that bothers me is that the administration regarding the tariffs, I don't know, about a week ago came out and said that the U.S. coffers are just filling up. $60 billion in tariff money from China for the first quarter of the year, meaning that the country is going to earn $250 billion from China. What the people don't get is coming from their pockets, and they don't understand it. It's not that we're being fed truly fake news. $250
wow.
billion dollars is taking money right out of our economy.
Well, that's a great point. And I think that, who knows, I think one of the things I just read as recent as this morning is that China may stall on trying to get a resolution to the tariffs based on hoping that there's a different president, and they might push it off till next year's election. So we don't know.
Well, one person does know. The gentleman in the White House retort to that was, "I don't care." That was his. That was his comment back at that China position. So, you know, not to talk politics.
Well, interesting. Yeah. Well, you never touch on that subject. You've been so neutral. It's almost like
I know. I am neutral. I am very neutral. I only think one way.
Well, it's interesting. I remember commenting on this, if it wasn't last month, it was the month before, that when they surveyed companies that actually are based out of China, U.S. companies, they are proponents of addressing the trade imbalance and some of the regulations that China has imposed on American companies doing business there. And I'm not saying this is the right approach, but I've also mentioned that if we were going to do it while the economy is strong. We've had a bit of cooling off and waning, so all of a sudden it's not as popular with some of the proponents maybe as it was in past months, and because there's concern about perhaps getting into some recessionary territory here. But I think we're a bit away from that, if any, if that's, you know, all forecasts were that we wouldn't see that in 19 and or 20. But time will tell. We'll have to see what materializes as far as the economy is going, but how it's going. But I can tell you this much, what we're seeing is this slowdown in the U.S. economy is happening globally as well. It's been happening globally even prior to us having this cooling off period.
You just took the words out of my mouth, Anthony. I can't believe you did it. I was going to do a whole shtick on what's going on around the world. If we don't get if they if I can't I'm stuttering. If Europe goes down further, if South America goes down further, Asia goes down further, how are we going to maintain when we've got actually numbers that have been going down for 4 months?
Well, keep in mind, we're still north of that 50. So we're still seeing growth. It's just slower growth. I would be very nervous if we start seeing contraction, but we're not seeing it as of yet. So as long as job market remains strong, and you know unemployment's low, and we have people working, I think back to things like what Australia's had, 28 years of growth with no recessionary period, and their strategy has been to make sure people are working, do municipal projects, kind of what we had going on under the Obama administration with some of the road work that was that stuff to stimulate jobs and keep people working. That's what's going to maintain this economy. And with north of 80% contribution to GDP coming out of non-manufacturing and the employment where it is and how labor-intensive this sector is, at 3.7%, I just look at driving on the road now compared to 10 years ago, much different. Busier.
This is true.
You know, there's people working and there's people spending money. We've seen a shift in how that money's spent. I think some of the, we've talked about it on the show in the past, the online distribution has affected a lot of the retail industries and retail space that we see out there, but it's part of the economic correction. We'll see what happens. There's different positions on that, and I think the public and the consumer will dictate where that goes down the road.
Once they know how it all works. I mean, China did some of what you suggested about building infrastructure and so on. Several years ago, they built cities, literally cities, not build an apartment house. They built a city, and they had nobody living there. They were called ghost towns. And the only people there were the little Chinese ladies with their brooms sweeping up the sand from the Gobi Desert. And they created jobs, and that's why they had a 14% GDP at one point. We don't see that number in 5 years.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this much. When they did all that infrastructure building, someone forgot to tell them about urban planning. Because, you know, I've been over in Shanghai a few times, and I could see where I wanted to go. But the roads didn't get you there directly. It was like going through a maze to get there. And I was like, but I could see it. I could probably walk faster.
Yeah, they may have to bring back the rickshaw. They may have to bring back the rickshaw to get across town.
Wow. I saw that in New City. I was like, I have to go from this hotel to that place right there. I see the lights. And it would take a half hour to get there through the traffic because it was no direct route.
That's right.
It's just like sprawl.
Yeah, and a lot of people in the way.
It's a crazy place. But, Anthony, getting back to your report, now that we've digressed.
You're always talking business.
Sorry, it's dull, I know. It's a great report. Anthony, if the bills get in gear and get passed for infrastructure building, I'm imagining that that is a strong case for the non-manufacturing sector doing very well.
Well, all projections were that the sector would continue to do well through the year and into next year. The challenge was, or the question was, at what rate of growth? And I think September, again, is going to be the pivotal month to see how we finish up the year. We get past the holidays. Keep in mind school starts coming up in August and September. Most of the municipalities, public administration, their fiscal period starts in September. You might see some more capital spending. You know, these are things that I'm thinking of that may materialize that, or may not, depending on the confidence level at that juncture and, you know, everything else that's happening across the board here in our country.
And is the employment figure now at 56.2 in this report a direct reflection of the business activity, which is still, you know, it may have rolled up to a lower number at 53.1, but it's still above 50. So it's still driving that employment number north?
It is. And I'm going to make a contradictory statement that the employment index could be either a leading or a lagging index. And it's more about real time if you're looking at it month to month. But when they're trying to backfill positions and it's the cycle time is dragged out, we could be seeing the remnants of them catching up. And in some instances, it could be of what's in the pipeline. These companies are gearing up their labor force for what they have forthcoming. And you know, look at the last comment on the page where it says what respondents are saying. And this is from Wholesale Trade. And I always like to reference Wholesale Trade because in the non-manufacturing sector, they're the intermediaries for disparate locations. They add that time and place value. And they're saying that it's somewhat slow for the first half of 2019, but it is expected to pick up for the second half. So that leads me to believe that we might see some positive growth in the second half of the year. You know, time will tell. I always like to see how things will trend out based on this last 2 months. It doesn't look like we're going to get good rate of growth, but again, going back to what I said, we still have plenty of the year left here.
No doubt.
And the good part of the year, that September, October, November.
Yes.
Yes, predominantly because it's football season. Which.
No, that's because that's Anthony, when everybody starts advertising again.
Anthony, your 53.7 converts to what kind of a GDP number?
1.8%. That's not what you say, a very attractive number, but still, I'd rather see any growth than no growth. So it's 1.8%, still better than what we had than prior years, because when we came out of the recession back in 2008, it was very slow incremental growth that we were seeing, and we just became kind of spoiled, accustomed to the growth we had in 2018, 2019. So as we've had this slowing, you know, think back in 2007, 2006, we would have looked at this 53.7 composite index and said, wow, this is pretty good. But, you know, here we are today and we're looking for as much of an impact and rate of growth as possible. And, you know, we had a little stock market rally earlier last week and then had pulled back. And so it's I think part of that is with interest rates and tariffs and everything else is affecting the psyche of the traders. So bonds were also affected. So there's a lot of different variables out there.
Do you think that the feds are going to be impressed by Trump's promoting lowering the interest rate even more so? Even though no president ever does that, he has. But do you think he's going to lower it again anytime soon this year?
Well, the indications are that they're going to do a few different cycles of lowering the rate. But I think our friends at the Federal Reserve, they react according to how the economy is going. I mean, their mantra is to ensure that employment is not negatively impacted, that it's robust. They look to ensure that we have you know, they manage the banks and the interest rates to ensure that we don't have inflation. So that's what they're looking at. Their primary two concerns amongst all the other responsibilities they have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I hope they stick to their guns about the way they handle protocol.
Anthony, I'm just wondering, you know, you and I have talked over the last 18 months about the transportation sector, and when we talked a year and a half ago, it was very tight. There weren't enough containers. There weren't enough front ends. There weren't enough trucks available to move goods. The economy softened. The transportation manufacturing of truck front ends and containers has increased. So I'm assuming that for the most part has gone away. Is that right?
I don't think it's so much as gone away. It's just eased up a bit. And as we've had a slowing down in the rate of growth, and part of the tariff situation that happened with on the manufacturing side, we're seeing that the demand has just waned enough to where it's become manageable. And that's most evident when we look at backlog of orders is still growing, but it came off 2.5 percentage points. And supply deliveries, they're slowing, but at the same rate as they were month to month. So I think part of that is, again, all demand pull.
And Anthony, in your sector, who are the two or three big boy sectors, and, you know, what are they feeling?
Well, you know, we look at some of the sectors that we have, and again, we know that it's very, very eclectic. And when you're looking at the growth as to which of the different industries, there were 13 industries that reported growth in July. And it started with number one was accommodation and food services, number two was utilities, three, professional, scientific, and technical services. Then it was real estate, rental and leasing, and then transportation and warehousing, if you're looking at the top five there. And when you look at as far as what we had in contraction for that particular month, and I will turn to that data here, it was interesting that for the most part, when you look at the trend that we've had, you know, retail has been kind of lagging a little bit, and mining last year was lagging, but mining has been very robust as it related to growth for the particular year for 2019. And I'm turning to that information as we speak here. So, like on business activity, let's see. Sorry, gentlemen, it's just that I have so many data sheets here.
Yeah, there's a lot of information in this report, and we encourage all our listeners to go to instituteforsupplymanagement.org to pull their copy, which you can print and study in depth. So
on the contraction side, we had arts, entertainment, and recreation, agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting, retail trade, as I mentioned, wholesale trade, and then educational services round out the top five as far as a decrease month to month.
Okay. I was just considering, and who are the, what are the three largest sectors in non-manufacturing?
That's a great question, and I should know that off the top of my head, but I do not. I would have to say that when we look at it, you know, retail is huge. Retail is huge, as well as information. And most likely in there would be, I would say on the services side, would be that the accommodation and food services.
Ah, okay. Anthony, I know that the tariffs out there are going to loom maybe large as they come online. Are there any other headwinds that you see that will hold back the non-manufacturing sector?
Well, you know, we've talked about the as you mentioned, we had the trade, we have geopolitical concerns. We don't want to see anything catastrophic. That would be like homeland security, anything like that. As far as what we're seeing right now, I would say really we'd have to be careful with inflation as well as ensuring that we don't have something that would like derail, like outside of the trade, I would say anything political, anything terrorist activity, homeland security related, that could really put a damper on growth besides what we're seeing now with the regular economic variables.
Okay.
As far as your earlier question, the number one is real estate, rental, and leasing for the non-manufacturing sector.
Really? That's interesting.
It is surprising. That's all those millennials who don't want to buy houses.
Well, that's all coupled in there, you know.
I'm sure.
Well, no doubt. So, Anthony, give us, as we approach the end of this segment, because I know that you have other interviews that you have to run off to, give us kind of a wrap-up of the non-manufacturing sector.
Well, you know, as I mentioned at the opening of the show, this is the lowest reading we've had in 3 years, since 2016. But let's keep in mind that we still have growth across all of the indexes. We are seeing relatively little to no inflation. We have good employment, which is what drives this particular sector. And coupled with the fact that we see this cooling off 2 months in a row, it's not alarming at this juncture. We'll have to see how we finish up the summer. We still have to consider what the trade escalation, the trade war escalation will result in for this sector. It definitely has impacted manufacturing to this point, but now we're seeing consumer goods now going to be impacted on this latest round. That will affect the retail trade. Let's see how that impacts consumer confidence, which has been at an 8-month high at this juncture. And then going into September, as I've mentioned, being the pivotal month, before we hit the last quarter, which, as Lou pointed out, are always been good growth months for this sector, as well as manufacturing. So right now, I continue to stay the course with that we won't see anything recessionary in 2019, probably maybe some sideways movement moving into the last quarter. And all indications are that we'll see continued growth for this sector, just might be slower than what we like and what we've been accustomed to.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks for being with us.
I appreciate it.
I got to go over to our window and see how many stories up we are.
Well, you started off this call so positive, saying you couldn't wait to hear what I had to say, and I just kind of feel like I burst your bubble.
It shows how wrong one could be. Now, I do have confidence in our economy. I have confidence in our country. I just don't have confidence in a lot of people who run it. And hopefully there will be some wiser person who can deal with the issues at hand. We have lots of issues, and everybody knows it.
So are you running for office, Lou?
I don't even want to run for my condo association. I turned them down.
That was a smart move. That's harder than running the government.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible. Terrible. And you get no thanks. You don't get paid and no thanks.
And you just get a lot of stink eye when you walk through the hallways and stuff.
Lou, my water pipe is leaking. You know, what do I look like, your janitor? You know, that. All right, Anthony, great talking to you. I hope you don't take all of my comments seriously, and I certainly don't mean to abuse you. We don't play gotcha here, but I did get you a couple of times.
Okay. I resemble
right.
that remark.
Very funny. Okay, we'll be talking to you again next month, and hopefully we're going to see some better numbers. Don't forget, every month counts towards your yellow jacket.
Oh, boy. That's what's keeping me in the game.
That's great.
Thanks. Have a great one.
Yes,
you
too.
All right. Take care, Anthony. And we've been speaking with Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair from the Institute for Supply Management for the Non-Manufacturing Report on Business in this ISM series on business, which we appreciate the opportunity to work with the Institute for Supply Management.org if you're going to their website. To keep everyone apprised of what's happening in the economy on both the manufacturing and non-manufacturing side, and to let everyone know that if you want to get more information, go to mfgtalkradio.com. There's always some great news articles there that are very current, plus all of our shows, there's an entire library, plus links over to some of our other shows. And Lou, what else?
Yeah, there's one other item. You know, there's a lot of data in the ISM reports, and we have on our website, Manufacturing Talk Radio, we have an executive overview of that, of those reports that really make it very simple and less complicated and more direct. Not that Anthony or Tim Fiore is not direct, but there are a lot of numbers, and the executive summary really spells it out very clearly for you. So go to mfgtalkradio.com, and you will see that report. We also put it in our MMO e-zine, and that'll be coming out in a couple of weeks, barring running out of ink. So that being said, Tim, it's good talking to you as always, and we'll talk soon.
And we will. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with MMO e-zine, it's the Metals and Manufacturing Outlook. It is a publication that All Metals and Forge Group puts out every month, and you can certainly subscribe to that. So again, we appreciate all of our listeners, and thank you for listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.